And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Man, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one, Alabama, and soon to be Tennessee, as we go live in Chattanooga here in a couple of weeks. So, yeah, Right Side Radio going to be a multi-state, and we appreciate the fact that we get a chance now to reach out to a Northwest Georgia, North or Southeast Tennessee, Northeast Alabama regional mix. I mean, it's gonna be great. Chattanooga, WGOW out of Chattanooga, coming up real soon. Hey, listen, we're going to switch gears. I'm in number two of the Triple Dipper. I'm just calling this the Now What. I mean, Now What? I don't know about y'all, but I am so glad that 2024 is over, personally. I'm actually glad the whole last 4 years is over. But we've got a couple more weeks to go. Things are still happening. Biden's still pushing out billions for Ukraine. He's still trying to pay off student loan debts. It's madness. He's still vacationing right now in St. Croix, believe it or not. But what can we expect coming up pretty soon? And I thought, you know what? Who better to talk to us about that than John Wall, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. And he's on the line right now. Chairman Wall, how are you doing?
I am doing well. It's good to be on the show.
Well, we're glad to have you. Thanks for making time. By the way, I know you live in the Athens area. I guess everything okay with you since the tornado the other day?
No, you know, I was west of the track of the storm. But yeah, I was actually going around the courthouse area yesterday, looking at going over some of the damage with some of the elected officials. And I'll tell you, it is so sad, some of the historical aspects there. But very thankful there was not a loss of life. You know, in the broad scheme of things, Athens was very lucky, especially with no warning. But everything well here, and ask for everyone's prayers for those who are suffering damage up here in Athens.
Well, yeah, I'm glad to hear you were there and walking the ground. Thank you for doing that. All right, so let me ask you this. Are you glad 2024 is over?
You know, I really am. This has been a year. It's hard for me to believe we're already at the end. I want to highlight the fact that, remember this year, for all those listening, this election cycle will be talked about in political history classes and political science classes for hundreds of years. I think this is probably one of the most historic cycles that we've ever seen, whether it was the drama on the Democrat side, which had their nominee, President Trump coming back for a second term, not back-to-back, only the second president in the history of our country to do that. There's so many nuances and so many things. But I think, as I look back over 2024, I am absolutely glad to have it done. I am tired. I'm ready for a break. But I'm also proud of what we accomplished. What we accomplished as a state party here in Alabama, raising Alabama's profile, the first ever presidential primary debate, hosting presidential candidates. But what really has me motivated to keep working hard is that I think the American people sent a message November 5th. And that message was the status quo is over. The American people want to change. They want a government that puts them first. American first is not just a talking point. This is what the American people want. They want a government that is smaller, more efficient, doesn't spend as much money, does not try to control their lives, and that makes a priority defending their rights and freedoms and helping them have a safer, more successful life. And I think that gives me hope for the future.
Well, I agree. In fact, here in a little while, I'm going to switch to a third dipper. I'm calling it the end of an era because there are some who are saying that what we just passed through was a second, what they call progressive era, and that the progressive era is coming to a close with the election of Donald Trump and the mandate. And we're even seeing it on a worldwide scale in many ways. We're seeing a shift to the right in global politics. But let me ask you this. So Chairman Wall, who also happens to be in leadership at a regional level for the Republican Party, what can we expect? I mean, what do you, and I mean, not just like things are going to be better, which I think they are, like what can we expect in a practical sense? What do you expect to see happen in the first 100 days, maybe even the first day of the Trump administration?
Oh, I mean, look, this is the question, right? And I think it actually ties into the finishing thought we just had, which is there is a shift. The American people want change. And I think, you know, this was a referendum on the policy of the Democrat Party, of the wokeness, of the out-of-control spending, out-of-control nanny state, putting people back in charge. But in order for that, that was not just a referendum on Democrats. That's also a referendum on Republicans. Because the American people have told us what they want. And now it's our job, it's our elected officials, need to have a backbone, need to fight for the American people, and need to actually deliver on their promises.
Yeah.
And that's going to be the key over the next 2 years. We'll get to the midterms, but also the next 4 years. So I think we're going to see, you know, there's going to be some docking. You know, what does come out of this initial start? Is it the American First Trump agenda? Or is it something else? Is the establishment trying to make a hold? And I think we're going to see a lot of interesting things happen before Donald Trump actually takes the oath of office on January 20th. We got, you know, some other, the speaker's race coming up, the different things coming that are going to define our government far past just Donald Trump. And I think we're in for a very interesting time frame. We're going to see very quickly. I think you're going to see a lot of executive orders day one from Donald Trump. You're going to see, you know, things on the border, actually some serious efforts to control illegal immigration and to keep America safe in that area. I think that's going to be one of the main policies you see day one. You're going to see some other stuff with tariffs day one, and really making sure that we're getting a fair deal on the global the global scale. We've been being ripped off for years, especially by China.
Absolutely.
And I know there's debate over the best way to address that, but I think keeping our head in the sand and not addressing it at all is absolutely the wrong approach. And so I'm fascinated to see what that, you know, what those immediate responses are. But well, I think those are two areas we're going to see action day one.
I think day one's going to be very gamey. I think it's going to be like serious business. And I think more so than we even saw with the Biden administration with, you know, a stack of executive orders. I think we're going to see executive orders and policy rollouts on day one with Trump. But here's the thing, John, I'll just say this, having been a card-carrying Republican for a number of years, a member of the state party, a county party leader, and an elected official myself, I say all that to say, a lot of times Republicans get in our own way. We wind up having fighting over the minutiae so much so that we lose the big picture sometimes, like the fight over Obamacare. We couldn't get it repealed when we had the chance. Now, Speaker Johnson's race may be one of the first tests of the new Republican, you know, band of brothers, so to speak. Can they get past that point? Trump came out and endorsed Mike Johnson today for re-election. Some say it's only because he doesn't want the distraction of a speaker's race during his first 100 days. I don't know. What are your thoughts? Is Mike Johnson going to survive the vote this coming week, or is it going to be okay?
Yeah, you know, that, in my opinion, is one of the biggest questions asked. I don't think he makes the first vote. Now, I'm not really saying he does not stay speaker, but I think there are going to be enough congressmen who vote against him to take it to a second ballot. And I say that because there's also political strategy with any committee type vote. I know we've already seen at least one congressman, Congressman Massey, say he's not going to be voting for him. It only takes three. And so, with that in mind, you may see no votes just to say, okay, let's set up some new policies, or let's make sure we actually make a priority on cutting spending. I think most likely Speaker Johnson does eventually get the votes, but, and I could be completely wrong here, I think it's not on the first ballot. And that's just my prediction, kind of looking at the lay of the land as we have it right now. It's very, very hard in today's political culture to get a vote. To get, they'll only have three votes needed to stop it in the first round. I think it will be there. And the Democrats are not going to bail him out on a vote for Speaker. And I think that takes this definitely to a very interesting position. And that's going to be the main story, I think, headed to next week. I mean, he has been close to Donald Trump. He was traveled with him a lot, final weeks of the campaign. That endorsement does not surprise me. And I think it does go past just he doesn't want distractions. I think Speaker Johnson has been courting his support for months, and it's going to be interesting if that support can hold.
Well, all right. So that being said, what do you know about Alabama's delegation? I mean, we have, I can think, and you don't have to name names you don't want to, but I know that Barry Moore is a member of the Freedom Caucus. I know that Gary Palmer has been in leadership most recently and is looking at some good appointments coming up. I know that we've got some seniority with Mike Rogers and Robert Adderholt. I don't expect anything out of Terry Sewell, but what are we expecting from the Alabama delegation on the vote? Do you have any indication that any Alabamians are going to wind up going one way or the other?
You know, I think right now all of Alabama's votes will probably go for Mike Johnson. Okay. That would be my suspicion. I think the possible defectors are going to be the people that you saw that voted against the budget. Just a couple, it's not the budget. Let me get the wording right. The continuing resolution on the budget.
Right.
The folks who voted no, the congressmen who voted no on that, I think are your most likely to vote no on or to vote for a different candidate on the speaker's race. And we saw all of Alabama's representatives vote yes on that continuing resolution. So I would expect all of Alabama's congressmen at this point to vote with Speaker Johnson.
Well, that's going to be interesting to see. So Mike Johnson's got a great pedigree. I mean, his work with Alliance Defending Freedom as a constitutional lawyer, his time as a member of the Freedom Caucus, I believe. But all that to say, he's got an impossible job right now, having this narrow of a majority. Because like you said, it takes is three, and it can be three. By the way, some people think it's purely on principle. Sometimes it's also purely on politics. They're gaming for something. They're holding back on their vote until they know they're going to get an appointment or something in a bill or whatever else. So no telling what's going on behind the scenes right now.
No, that's exactly right. You're going to have there's three different motivations, right? You got the genuine policy guys who are like, I don't like this. I don't like Speaker Johnson's policies. Then you're going to have the folks, like you said, who may be holding out saying, I want an appointment to be chairman of a subcommittee or a main committee. If you don't agree to give me that position, I'm going to vote no on. And so leadership is an extremely hard place to be in the U.S. House of Representatives. It's going to be very interesting. I think Speaker Johnson's weakest area for me when I'm looking at him is some of the spending. And can he convince the fiscal hawks, the folks who really want to bring down the national budget, who really want to cut spending, can he convince them that he's the right guy to vote for Speaker, and will he actually make those hard cuts in the coming months?
Well, I think that's going to be the test. The reality is, though, I'd much rather the test be with us in charge than us not in charge. So,
amen.
So let's go ahead and get that out of the way. I'm just glad 2024 is over with. I'm glad 2025 is upon us. My pastor at Church of the Highlands has named this the year of new beginnings, and I'm looking for it like right away.
No, so am I, and I think the opportunity is there, and I'm excited if the Republican Party can deliver and our elected officials can come through on the promises, rebuild the economy, close the border, help people have a better life.
Yeah,
I think there's a very bright future. We have a chance to take this country back.
Absolutely. Well, listen, Chairman John Wall, look forward to talking to you again sometime real soon, but in the meantime, thanks for making time for us today.
No, always good to be on the show.
All right, see you, man. Well, so you heard it. I mean, I think there's definitely some work to be done. And there's also, I mean, listen, I'm not a fan of Speaker Johnson's most recent effort, or I won't say lack thereof, because I can't imagine the work that went on behind the scenes. I've been in a little bit of political machinations before. I know what it's like trying to get something done when there are people holding out on votes. But nonetheless, I mean, when you went from a 1,600-page spending bill, to a, 150-page spending bill overnight, that meant you could have done it at first. So why did you not do it at first? So there's things like that I look at and go, where was the wisdom? Here's the next question. Who's going to do a better job? Is there somebody who can get the votes that can do a better job without jimmying up the works? Is it Jim Jordan? I think Jim Jordan would be awesome. Is it somebody else, a member of the Freedom Caucus, Andy Biggs? I don't think he can get the votes. Is it Byron Donalds? I like Byron Donalds a lot from Florida, but does he have the experience? So all these things weigh in, and the reality is, here's my thought. My thought is right now, Mike Johnson goes back in, because I am so avidly in favor of the Trump agenda starting on day one that I don't want to see a month of wrangling trying to figure out if anybody can get the votes to be Speaker. I say go in there. Beat him up a little bit if you have to. Debate openly. Call out his weaknesses. Maybe hold off on the first vote if you have to. But eventually get it done, and let's get going on the work of the people. And if he can't sustain, once the presidency and the Senate and the House are all in one party, if he can't do the job at that point, he should step down and get somebody else then. But right now, before we even start, that's not when I want to see the engine stalling. All right, we're taking a break right now. We'll come right back. I got plenty more on that. I even got clips from Trey Gowdy and Karl Rove talking about this very thing. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. It will be right back.